song, but that music wasn't very good. Anyway, I usually play something new when I'm not happy with the music, but I won't do it today. I'll just say they were going crazy here yesterday predicting a huge snowstorm. I mean, it's cold out. There was a little snow. Nobody went downtown, I think, and there's no snow. Thank you, media! But I'm going to give you some good information. I am going to give you good information. Here's some leadership advice I read on a blog yesterday. I'm going to quote it. It says, acknowledge people's existence, exclamation mark. Try always to say hello. The guy didn't say, always try to say hello. Try always to say hello. It sounds like it's translated, but I know it isn't. Anyway, you got to wonder about the guy already. He says, always try to say hello, give a nod of the head, a high five, a smile in passing. It is withering to pass someone and feel as if that person didn't even see you. That's the end of the quote. The leader has to look around her when she's walking down the hall and wave to everybody. You see, here's the logic behind that. The leader holds your fate in her hands. So you always want to know that you're important to her. If she doesn't notice you, that means you're nothing. How does your future look then? Not so good, right? You feel like a loser, a nobody. That's what this guy is saying here. But here is the counterpoint. It's for followers and leaders. When someone doesn't notice you, it's really not that bad. You are not sugar, sir. You are not sugar, ma'am. If she doesn't notice you, you're not going to melt. You don't need to freak out. All these macho guys who have to protect their face. I'm going to tell you what takes guts. Showing up in public when you don't have any face, that takes guts. Showing up in public when people don't respect you, that takes guts. That's when you show your stuff. That's when you show what you're made of. That's what you show. I lost track. I don't know. What does it show? That's when you show that you don't think you're nothing. You're not nothing to yourself. It doesn't matter what your boss thinks. What you think of yourself, that's more important. And these guys who keep telling you to wave at your employees, you know, I'm not saying it's bad advice. If 99% of the world wants a pat on the back, hey, it makes sense to give it to them. But you know what? I just don't know. I'm losing track. I'm going to tell you, if you let your boss, instead of looking around for you, instead of standing there with your tongue hanging out waiting for a pat on the head, if you just let your boss walk down the hall, that wouldn't be so bad, would it? That's a worthwhile goal, isn't it? Just to be someone with a little backbone? What's wrong with that? Do I really have to remember your birthday and your wife's name and your husband's name and how many kids you have to make you feel important? Salespeople, listen, they use that trick to manipulate you. Yeah, they do. And I got a guest today who's a salesperson, and he's got a very distinctive voice. His name is Travis Yeager, and he's a straight shooter. He's not going to manipulate you. He's going to tell you all about the life of a junior recruiter. So, Jerry, will you tell us what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Travis Yeager, are you here?
Yes. Hello.
I better
How
be able
you?
To hear you. I'm fine. Thank you. Thanks, Travis.
I can hear him.
Good.
Hello,
Me
everyone.
Okay. Okay. Now, Travis, are you related to Chuck Yeager, the guy from The Right Stuff, the famous test pilot from the 1950s?
The Right Stuff.
Yeah, I've been told that I am not. The guy, I actually met him once, and he's not such a nice guy.
Oh.
He's not such a nice guy? Why do you say that?
He wasn't such a nice guy. I met him at an airport. He's he broke the sound barrier. He's kind of a prima donna. He's got that air of entitlement about him.
Oh, so you said, hey maybe I'm
entitled.
Related to you, and he said, F off?
I agree. You know, well, no, it wasn't that. I mean, I don't get a break on AC Delco batteries or anything like that, so I'm assuming it's not related.
Okay, you know what? Your phone was much better yesterday. It's not really that good today, I'm sorry to tell you. And
it's
we've got a lot
fine.
To talk about. You know, hit girl.
Yeah.
Just that, you know,
bring
I
it.
Didn't ask you, okay? Or maybe
well,
I'm on a different line. I promised that I would call in on the customer's line in the future so I could hear what you hear, but I'm on a different line. Anyway, Travis, let's just move on. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
A little bit about my background. I'm 41, married, few kids. I've had, well, as far as work goes, I've had
you know what? You live in Fort Wayne, Indiana, right next door to Jerry. Is that right?
I do. I do indeed.
Yeah.
And
no
Animal, can I start this
Fort
off
Wayne.
On the right foot?
Go ahead, Mike. Mike Astringer.
You know, if he was calling into me on the phone, I would hear his voice and immediately think he's trying to sell me Quaker Oats. What is with that?
Well, he does have a distinctive voice. Mike Astringer, I'll just jump ahead.
Quaker
this guy
Oats?
Was it. This guy was a DJ, but what does that have to do with Quaker Oats? I don't get it.
No,
well, they're
does.
Good, and they're good for you.
Quaker Oats,
if he
animal,
said
the
that, I would
friendly
eat them.
Commercials.
Bad joke,
okay.
I would think.
I don't know that one. Come on, let's get back on track. You live in Fort Wayne, Indiana, right? You dropped out of high school, then you got your GED, and you went back to college. What did you take in college?
Computer science, Purdue computer science degree.
Uh-huh, but you didn't complete
make
it, did you?
Didn't,
no.
Didn't
fact,
complete
you didn't take,
no.
You didn't take any computer courses at all, am I right?
Well, no, the way they set it up, it was you got to go through your prereqs, the first bit of college, and then on to the stuff that you're there for. And
you took the Jerry route right out of college after your first year, is that correct?
I did. I
okay.
Well, I had my son and elected to take a second job.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now,
so,
you said you've had 50 jobs in your life. Is that right?
That's a conservative estimate, but yeah, I would imagine it's been that.
Okay.
Sure.
Want to tell us how you got fired from the radio station?
Yeah, I can do that. It's kind of embarrassing. I was. It was a conservative country radio station in Illinois. I was part of a morning show. The program director was my partner on the show and my boss. Earlier in the week, I'd done a kind of public service announcement for a chicken fry that the Lions Club was doing locally. Well, after the during the morning program, after the PSA played, I asked him, you know, what his favorite part of the chicken.
Hey, you know what? You have to drag it out. I could tell a better story than this, right? You know,
hey,
I get these
fine.
Guys. No, he isn't, Moran. Now I've got this new policy where I interview people before they come on, so I know what they're going to say. And when they drag it out, I mean, I say to myself, why shouldn't I just tell the story? Can you get to the point?
Hey,
so you can be
the
guest and
the host.
The
listeners want to hear his voice. Let him talk.
I
want to
hear his voice.
I asked him what his favorite part of the chicken was, and he said that it was the leg or thigh. And I said, well, I like the leg and the thigh. I said, my favorite's the breast. Not so much that the meat's any different on the leg or the thigh, but just because it's called the breast. And the president from a well-known bank in town threatened to pull their advertising collars if I didn't get my walk-in papers. So, yeah, the younger clique over there, they kind
of
like
okay,
me,
enough
but,
of that. Okay, now for a long time you worked as a telephone salesperson, telesales, selling advertising for trade journals. Yes or no?
Yes, I did for about 12 years.
Okay, and
I'm
then
Wilford
you spent,
Brimley for diabetes.
Then you spent 10. Then you spent 10 years selling security services. Am I right? Yes or no?
I worked with that company on and off for 10 years. Yeah, handling their sales exactly.
And how long were you the sales manager, or were you the only person in sales?
Well, I was the only one in there. And
okay, fine. And sometimes now, when you're bored of an evening, you go out to be a bouncer yourself. Is that right?
Yeah. I fill
okay.
in for them when they're shorthanded. I've known the owner of the company about 35 years. So.
And you're a big kind of imposing person. Am I right?
No.
How much do you weigh? How much do you weigh? How much do you weigh?
About 255, 260.
Mm. How tall are you?
About 6 foot.
Mm. Okay, fine. Okay. Anyway, so then you worked in a recruiting bullpen, placing IT programmers in permanent positions, and you decided to go on your own. How did you decide to become a recruiter? And you know what? Keep in mind, I'm going to get right to it. I'm not going to drag it out, okay?
Okay. Well, I when I took the position, I had actually taken a cut in pay to take the position. And I decided I'd give it a year, see how things went, and did so, and decided I've got a phone, I've got a voice. I mean, I'm missing a database.
You know what? I think I missed something. I said, why did you decide to become a recruiter?
That's what he's saying.
Who are you kidding to?
He's telling us how he decided to go on his own.
Okay.
How did he decide to become a recruiter?
I had contacted somebody with the company that I've known for a number of years and asked them if they needed anybody and was brought in from that point.
How did you decide to do that? Look, you know what? How did you decide to
call
that
guy?
Well,
the guy's had 50 jobs. It sounds like he doesn't really care about what the next job is. So it doesn't sound like there's any big decision process.
How did you decide? How did you decide to call this guy? How did you decide to call the guy? Come on.
Okay. Well, I was simply looking for another opportunity. The company I was doing the sales management for, they're funny on the money a little bit as far as the words they had given me, and so I decided to look elsewhere at that point.
Okay. So you work, you place IT people in permanent positions, not contract jobs, and you live in Fort Wayne. But what do you work a specific geographic territory? Where is that?
Currently Pennsylvania.
Okay. Now, I asked you yesterday why you chose Pennsylvania, and I was surprised to hear what you had to say. You want to tell the people?
I'm a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, that's convenient right now.
Yeah, okay. And so you
for
told me that
years,
event-
Jerry,
you told me eventually you're going to you're going to expand your geographic area into Washington, Maryland, because they are experiencing a lot of growth right now. Is that true?
They are. From the research I've done there.
Why
yes,
is
sir.
That? Why?
Well, I think it's important to go where the work is.
No. Why are they experiencing growth? Any idea?
Just a huge explosion in the IT sector. I'm not.
Why is that?
I don't
What's
know.
What's causing
that?
That? Any idea? Just say no if you don't know, okay?
I don't know.
Deficit spending. Next question.
Okay, now I asked you, aren't you at a disadvantage living in Fort Wayne and recruiting in Pennsylvania when you don't know the geography in that area?
Well, when I worked for that other company, that was one of their territories as well, so I'm not completely inexperienced with the lay of the land. I don't have to be there to effectively do my job.
He's in jeopardy now that I know he's in my backyard.
Do you ever go there?
I have not yet, no.
How long have you been there?
I have been there. Really just getting fired up the first of this year.
Okay, yeah, we're not talking about that yet. Here's what you told me yesterday. I'm glad I asked you because you're choking on me today. You said you use Google Maps. This is good advice for other recruiters. You use Google Maps to tell you where things are. So if you're going to recruit someone in some one town in Pennsylvania, you make sure you're not calling someone 5 hours away if there's no relocation involved. Is that right?
Well, sure, yeah. Obviously,
you know
you can't...
You know what? I said to myself, should I mail this guy my notes from our conversation yesterday? And
no,
I said, no, I shouldn't, you know, but I should have. Yes, I should have. Okay, let's...
Why
Animal,
say that?
Be nice.
I think what? Guest on the Animal Show might be job number 51 that he's going to get fired from.
Okay, training.
I don't
How
think anybody
training?
Mentioned that he'd been fired from the first 50, though. Just a point of order.
Yeah, that, I
point
think
of
we
order.
Need to fix that.
How did they train you at this recruiting firm, Travis?
Well, very well, I think, from the standpoint that I came into it not knowing anything about the business. And learned enough during that time that felt I could strike out on my own.
Okay, but didn't they give you the first day listening to other people? Yes or no? Well, Animal,
yeah.
Well, listen, this is how you say it. Well, Animal, the first day I spent listening to other people. Then the second day, they threw a script in front of me and got me on the phone. That's what you should
exactly.
be saying, okay?
Exactly,
okay.
And I don't think that was the case for everybody, but the individual who managed the shop, he knew my past, knew my phone experience, and figured that I could muddle through. So I was
okay.
on the phone the second day.
Okay, who was on that list? What was on that list that they gave you?
Numbers, names, and then a script in front of me too.
Can I just ask the panel here? I asked what was on his numbers and names. Like I didn't know that. Come on, those were the names of 100 hiring managers. Am I right?
What answer were you looking for then? If you knew what
yeah,
the answer was.
100 hiring
sure.
managers. They gave you 100 hiring managers. They didn't give you 100 recruiters to recruit. They didn't give you 100 recruiters to get, I mean, not recruiters, IT developers to get referrals.
I'll be honest with you.
They gave you 100 hiring managers to call, right?
I'm not sure if it was a marketing cycle or recruitment cycle, to be honest with you. But it was
you know
one
what?
Of the...
You must be. That's not what you told me yesterday, okay?
Animal,
so
this whole
you...
thing of you going through these guests the day before the show, it's almost like your show now is to see if they give you the same answer they did the day before. I don't
well,
like it.
You know what?
Why don't you take
don't
them
like
them
it
up to a polygraph? Hey, I want a polygraph from now on.
I gotta
is
tell
Jerry
you
defending this person because he's also in Indiana? Is that what's going on here?
No, I was
no?
just saying this new format, now Animal has these questions that he's expecting the very same answer that he got yesterday. And so the conversation's more about, hey, that's not what you said yesterday, rather than just letting us listen to the guy's answers.
But if you phone interview a candidate and then he interviews with your client tomorrow, don't you expect
he's
him to
a
give
candidate.
The same answers?
He's not a candidate. He's a guest on a show.
What?
He's a candidate.
Well,
I'll
be honest with you. I'm not sure. It was one or the other. It was either hiring managers or it was individuals to make recruiting calls to. I'm not certain. There was limited information as far as what I received and a script in front of me. I made
all
the
right.
calls and said the spew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you have to say the spiel to us as well. And just let me remind you, because yesterday your mind was working properly, it was a marketing cold call, okay?
Oh, okay. So you want
I
the marketing...
I've got to tell you something, Travis. If I wasn't supplying the substance that you're not supplying, you guys would cut me up plenty afterwards on the after show, okay? Now I'm making sure that you got some information for us, and I'm getting cut up for that, okay? If you were saying something that had some substance, I wouldn't be interrupting. Now, give us the spiel, okay, or spiel. Give it to us.
I hate that word.
Okay. We'd get the manager
spell
on.
Spell it without spitting.
As I understand it, you're in project management. If they're not, then I would ask them to direct me who is. If they are, how involved are you in development? Past development experience.
You know what? This is the marketing cold call. This is the marketing cold call. You told me they gave you 100 hiring managers. The show's going downhill. Can't you tell? They gave you 100 hiring managers. You called up and made your marketing call, okay? So you give us
okay,
the marketing
well,
call right now.
Well, word for word, what I said over a year ago, what I can tell you is that typically it would start with identifying that the individual you have on the phone is the right individual to talk to.
Okay, who are you looking for? Who are you trying to get? Who are you trying to get? Just listen to me, okay? Who are you trying to get on the phone?
If I'm marketing a candidate, I'm hoping to get the manager that can hire that individual on the phone.
Okay, so what title would that person have, typically?
Applications manager, IT director.
Okay, so you get that guy on the phone. You get that person on the phone. I'm the guy, okay? Hello?
All right, yeah. Hello? Animal?
Hello. Yep.
As I understand it, you're in project management?
That's right.
How involved are you in the development aspect of that?
I manage developers.
Okay.
You hiring?
Oh, my God. Can we cut off answers? That was a sucky answer.
Yeah.
Bad answer.
Yeah,
is that the same answer he gave yesterday, Travis, when you guys were role-playing this? Or did he make it seem like he was going along with it a little bit more?
You know what? Jerry, you role play with him. Jerry, role play with Jerry, okay? Role play your marketing call with Jerry. He
yeah,
I don't like the
role
playing stuff.
Go ahead, Jerry.
I don't
Jerry.
Care for it either.
When it's just men.
I don't care for role playing stuff either, but he did ask me yesterday, and I thought it was important because on his show, he asked every guest their marketing call and their recruiting call. And so I gave him an example of both
of those.
You
know what? I'm going to give your marketing call, okay? I mean, this show's going downhill. This is what you say. You said, when I get him on the phone, hey, who's ever wrecking the call, okay, with that terrible phone, don't do it, okay?
Ryan.
It's not either.
This is
not
what
me.
You
my
say. Come
good.
On, there's people listening. There's people listening. You want to chat? Chat on Jerry's show, not on mine. Okay.
Who's shouting? Wait a minute. Who's shouting right now?
Did you hear that, A-Stringer? Jerry's show.
Be quiet on that cell phone. Okay?
Okay.
This is what he says. I got to start. Come on. I'm going to cut everybody off.
It's Kathy
Manning. This is what he told me.
It is
Kathy. This is what he told me. When I get him on the phone, I ask an undeniable truth, forcing him to say yes. Then I give him the reason I'm calling. This is what he says. How are you? I understand you're the manager over applications. Do you find the job goes much smoother when the developers not only excel in the technical aspects, but also shine with the user community? The answer, says our friend here, the answer has to be yes. Then I say, last week I ran across such a developer. He can code any layer of the architecture, and he is currently responsible for many of the BA duties. Those are the people who deal with the users. No better word describes
boring.
Him than passionate. You shut up, okay? No better word describes him than passionate. He is currently just under 60,000, and I felt that he would be a good addition to your team. He's available for an interview. What day works best for you? Now you can comment, people. Go ahead.
Recruiter speak that I hate.
If she still wants to. Brand, you want to say something? No,
no,
she's crying.
You handled it perfectly.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay.
That was great.
Slick recruiter speak that I hate.
Why's that?
Because I get those calls. You know what? Call me. Say, hey, Mike, what's up? What are you working on? Can I help you? Don't give me slick recruiter lines that you're reading off a script. I hate that.
Agreed, Mike.
So what if they don't know you?
Yeah, and many
then introduce
times,
yourself. Naturally. Be yourself. Don't read out of a book.
No
I hate,
script.
Seriously, I hang up on those calls. I hate them.
They have a rebuttal for every answer you give. And I just...
Well, no, he doesn't. Here's the question I asked him. I said, what if they ask who you are? He said, it never happens. He doesn't introduce himself. He doesn't say, hi, I'm Travis Jaeger. I'm an IT
recruiter.
Then
who he's talking to is stupid.
They all think
I
he's
always
Wilford
trust my business people that I have no idea who they are. I do that every day.
I mean, I get calls from Indonesia wanting to know how I'm doing today. Who wants to?
Right. Okay. So anyway, I asked him, you know, what's your goal in that call? And he says he's not calling to place the person he's marketing. That would be a fluke. Right, Travis?
Yeah, that rarely is that ever shown up as a slam dunk type of thing. Typically, it's just to engage conversation and find out if they have a need and what that need is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how do you do that? But what's a typical response you get on that call?
Well, if I'm asked who I am, I tell them who I am, and I tell them why I'm calling.
Yeah. Okay, but you told me they normally say, no, I'm not looking for anybody like that. And then you say, should I read it or do you want to tell us?
Well, I can typically I'll just say that I'm seeing a movement in the marketplace of a lot of good people. If you were to look into your crystal ball and if I were to call you about a particular talent, what would that individual look like?
On Medicare. You may qualify for a free Medicare.
I swear that's not me.
What is going on?
I swear that's not me.
That's not my dog.
You.
Okay, keep going, Travis.
That was about it. You know,
okay, so you say, during my calls, I'm seeing a lot of movement in the marketplace by a lot of great people. If you had a look into your crystal ball and see what projects are coming up and I were to call you about a stellar candidate, what would that individual look like? If I were to call you about someone at that time, what would you want that person to look like? That's what you say to them, right? And what do they say back to you then?
Well, a lot of times they say that there's nothing happening right now, but that they've got a project that's kicking off in a 30-day time frame or whatnot, and then make arrangements to get back with them at that time.
Okay, and you do call back, right?
Absolutely.
What do you say to them then?
Pretty easy, checking back with you. You'd mentioned that you had some projects kicking off in this space and wanted to know if I could be of help to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any comments on that, anybody?
Yeah, wouldn't you be better off calling back and saying, you indicated that you were going to have a need in 30 days, and I've run into somebody that I think could help fill that need?
Yeah, I think that's a very viable point. Like I said, I'm a baby recruiter. I'm just getting started, and I've got a lot to learn, but I've got an Anthony Robbins book, and I've got an iPhone. And,
don't ever say you're a baby recruiter ever again, okay?
Right.
Diabetes.
Who's that?
Yeah, you know who that is. Okay, now I know why the phones are lousy. Okay, now
it's
I asked
Stringer.
Yesterday.
It's not me. I absolutely promise.
That's Levy. Are you? I asked if you're a natural salesman. You want to tell us what you told me?
I believe I am, from the standpoint that, in every sales position I've ever been in, I've experienced success. And I don't think that, I think people are born with a certain innate ability. I don't think it's, I think anybody has the ability to learn something, but I think some people are just natural at certain things.
That's a great answer, Travis. Here's what you told me yesterday when we had a great conversation, and I thought it was going to be. You said my mom said I would be a televangelist or a trial attorney because I like to argue, and so I said, "Do you think arguing is part of sales? Go ahead."
I don't think that arguing,
arguing
to the standpoint
you,
that you're. Yeah, I don't think arguing.
You know what,
Rhianne?
If you let this guy get a word out, it might help him.
I don't think arguing to the point of ticking somebody off is necessarily constructive, but
unbutting.
Yeah, it's leading, I guess, is a better, more so than arguing.
Leading? What does that mean?
Well, I look at kind of recruiting as not so much threading a needle as leading the thread through it. I don't. I don't think you get anywhere by ticking people off. So argue might be a strong word.
Okay, well, yesterday what you told me, you said you would say that sales is the ability to convince others that your way is the way to go, and some people are not afraid of articulating their thoughts to a group or an individual, and you belong in that category. How does that sound?
That sounds accurate. If you've got something of value to provide, then and it's something that you believe in, then obviously I think that's the answer.
Okay. Does being a DJ, having been a DJ, has that helped you in recruiting?
I think perhaps.
He's got a distinctive voice. That helps.
That does help.
Yeah,
I mean,
but it sounds a bit like a cartoon character, doesn't it?
No. It sounds like Barry White.
The Big Rooster or something?
No, he sounds like a real man.
Sounds like Barry White.
It puts the lotion in the basket.
Stop it. Stop it.
Okay, Travis, then you said to me, you offered yourself, would you like to hear my recruiting call? After you told me in a most eloquent way you described your marketing call, then you said, would you like to hear my recruiting call? And I said, sure, great. Do you want to tell it to me? Or should I?
My motivation for doing that, to be honest with you, was that you butt heads with every guest, and you get Jerry inflamed whenever you ask the question. So I thought, I'm going to be the first guest of the new year to actually give you both and let you have it.
Yeah.
Okay, give it to me. Give it to me, Big T. Give it to me.
Hey.
Wow. That's not this kind of show.
That's just weird.
Yeah,
that's what we used to have a radio station here called Chum. It was the popular kid station, and they say, well, give it to me, Big G, give it to me. I took it right from there, okay? So tell us your recruiting call, will ya?
And I told my webinar people to listen to this.
Tell us your recruiting
call,
will ya?
They hear him saying, can I, give it to me. Can I,
Animal's confused. He thinks he's in the Starbucks parking lot.
Travis, I'm talking to you. Can you look at me? Okay, I'll move ahead. This is his recruiting call. He gets someone on the phone and says, as I understand it, you're in project management. How involved are you in hands-on development? And what do they say, Travis?
Well, I guess it would depend on who I was talking to and the answers they gave. I'm not sure I can...
Okay, here's what he said. The guy says, yeah, you know, I am involved in hands-on development. And you say, well, the reason I'm calling is I'm working with a billion-dollar client who has asked me to find them a project lead for their Philadelphia location, someone not opposed to occasional travel who is proficient with the Microsoft technologies as it relates to development, a senior developer who is ready to take the next step and lead a group, someone with design experience for enterprise-level e-commerce. And most of them say to you what?
Either that they're content where they're at or that they're interested in hearing more about the position. I'll ask them if it's something they'd like to hear more about, and if it is, schedule a time to talk with them.
And if they say, as you told me most do, they say, sorry, Travis, I'm not interested. I've been here a while. And I'm happy.
Yeah, I do get that.
And what do you say? What do you say then?
It depends on the tone of the conversation, I guess. But, you know, could you not imagine being happier than where you're at right now? And find out what they're opposed to. It could just be that they're entrenched in a project currently. It could be that they're scared or uncomfortable. Could be that they're surrounded by other developers and folks and can't talk, frankly. So find out what the objection is, I guess.
How would you handle it if you think the guy just can't talk? Or do you ask him? Do you say,
I ask him
hey,
if he's
Bill?
Surrounded.
What?
I ask him if he's surrounded.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll tell me, yeah, or no, I'm able to talk. And if they are, it's something else. If they're surrounded, I'll ask them, does it sound like something that you would like to hear more about? Maybe we could schedule something this evening and discuss it further.
Okay. Now, you told me that you actually try to rebut guys. If they actually say that and they mean it, you try to get them to take a look, even though initially they don't want to. Is that right, Travis, yes or no?
That's kind of what I just said, isn't it? Or
no, you said you didn't say that.
Try to ascertain what the objection is. If you know what the objection is, then it's easier to overcome. I thought I answered the question.
You try to get referrals as well. Am I right?
Yeah, certainly.
How do you do that?
Ask them if there's anyone else that they're in touch with that may look at this as an opportunity for growth in their career.
Uh-huh. You know, you told me yesterday that you say, Mike, I understand that you're not interested in the position and that you're happy where you are, but I'm sure that you have someone in mind as I describe the position. Who would that be? Do you actually say that?
I can at times, sure. Like I said, it depends. There's no 100% answer to any of these questions because the flow of the conversation, the attitude of the individual you have on the phone, there's 100 different things that play into it.
Right. Then the guy says, oh, I don't feel good about giving you that information. And you say?
Well, let's see. If they're uncomfortable giving me the individual's names, the person you have in mind, Animal, if it is someone that would be truly interested in advancing their career, I'm sure they'd be happy to hear from me. And I'm sure they'd be happy to give me the name.
Yeah. That's the right answer. That's the answer you gave me yesterday. Congratulations, $10. Okay, you win 10 points. Okay, now how much do you try?
Yeah, you retracted
the
around? $10 right away. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Point. Well, nobody's paying me for their ad, so, you know.
Okay. Canadian dollar?
Canadian and American are par. Look, Travis, I know you got a nice drawl voice. I've always been impressed by your voice. But just pick it up a little here, okay? You know, people are—they're gonna think I'm dying. I really—you know what? I need a good show.
I apologize, Animal. I'm—you know—it's been a while since I've been.
Okay, so I'll just answer all your questions, and if you think you've got something to add, you butt in, okay? Hey, Adam, I got something. I say, how do you try to turn them around? Okay, do you rebut them? And you told me, if the guy says I'm not, and you said, you say to them, what is it that you haven't heard, or what is it about your position that leads you to believe there's nothing better out there? Is that one of your lines?
Yeah, well, yeah, certainly I could say that.
What is it about your current position that leads you to believe there's nothing better out there? And I said, how do they respond? And you said to me, Animal, I won't beat a dead horse. You also told me you've been hung up on a lot of times. Yeah,
sure,
and for the most part, here's what you do. For the most part, you said, I get an email address, and I send them my contact info and follow up to see if they had an opportunity to look that over. Then they're usually more open to a conversation after they've taken a look at my website. Is that right, Travis?
I would say your new tactic isn't working, Animal. If you're going to ask questions yesterday and expect the same answers, you should have just recorded your conversation yesterday.
What you have to understand is when you ask those questions and I answer those questions, it's not going to be the same answer every time. It depends on who you're speaking with on the phone. In answering your questions, if they hang up on me, because you kind of segued into I email them at that point, and that's certainly not necessarily the case. A lot of times when I'm talking to individuals, they're open to receiving an email with my information as opposed to discussing a job right there on the spot when they're surrounded by other developers and such. And to revise the numbers, because I know what question's coming up next from our conversation yesterday, I probably don't get a 30% return on the voicemails I leave. It's probably closer to 20. But I just wanted to clarify that now before you go into that question. I had to revise those numbers after I looked at it. So.
It's all in the questions.
The pre-interview is fine. It's just the fact that you're asking two ambiguous questions. You got to ask more definitive questions.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Animal. Ask them a question.
Should I juggle my schedule and be prepared to start the after show a little early today?
Now, listen. Okay, I'll go right through it myself. He can butt in if he wants. I said I was going to. Now, listen, Travis. You told me that actual referrals is one area you think you need help in. Am I right about that?
Well, no. I think everybody could be a better referraler.
You are backpedaling. Is someone listening to the show that you don't want to give any information? You're choking. You know. Now, does anybody want to help him? Does anybody want to help him right now with his referral technique?
I actually want to ask him a question when I can have a second.
Go ahead, Mike. Mike A. Stringer.
Did you say you've been recruiting? You had been recruiting for a year when you went out on your
own? He's only got 1 year experience. Yes.
Yep. I've got a year experience.
How many people did you place in 2010, I guess, if that was your year before you went out on your own?
I believe it was five or six people in
the
second.
So as someone who spent 17 years perfecting his craft, you really thought you were ready to go on your own after six placements? And part two of that question is someone mentoring you? Is someone helping you?
Well, I'm
I'm sorry, Rand, if you think that's harsh, but seriously, we spent years perfecting our craft. We didn't go out on our own after six placements.
I think it depends on what you're placing and how much you're making on each placement.
I'll put it this way. The year I worked there, the numbers that I got were the second 6 months of the year, really. And judging by the fees that were charged for that, and judging by what I was making myself in commissions, I felt that if I was even half as successful as I was that second 6 months of that first year, that I would be immensely successful doing it on my own. And what I didn't know, I could learn along the way.
That's tough, though. That is. You know what's interesting? You've got one of the best teachers in your city. I don't know if you guys know each other, you work together or what, but Jerry is really good when it
comes
to... They
go to the same Russian bathhouse.
There you go.
and Jerry was actually who I wanted to ask his opinion of my question. I mean, Jerry, you know where I'm coming from, don't you?
Yeah. You know, I think everybody's in their own situation, you know.
Yeah, Jerry's evasive. He doesn't want to criticize Travis. Okay.
No, I don't. No, I would certainly feel free to criticize him if I thought that there was a reason to.
Yeah,
and 20 years ago, you wouldn't have thought about starting your own agency because all the resumes were locked up in the big file cabinets, and now it's a whole different world. I mean, you can all of the resources you would need right at your fingertips, and if you've got the basic premise of this down and you've been in sales long enough, well, what the hell, give it a shot.
Yeah, but the failure rate.
Can I say
so
one
hot.
Word?
Yeah, we can't hear you, Kathy. You're not on a good phone, but talk, and I'll
is it Kathy's corner?
It becomes awful. Kathy's
okay.
corner. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm at the doctor right now. I'm actually having a needle inserted into my arm, getting my blood drawn. That's how loyal I am. So I deserve Kathy's corner today.
Wow.
They're laughing. Okay. Now, the thing is, if he's only done 6 placements, how do you know what his commissions were? Maybe they were $20,000-$30,000 a placement.
That was my question.
You don't know what the level of the positions were. Who is anybody to judge on the number of the positions?
I'll be honest with you. The commissions that I would face making placements would be anywhere from probably $16,000 to $30,000 in a fee.
But even still, if I could just be heard here for a second, it doesn't. None of that matters to me. What matters to me is that, you know, I've been through two upticks where every used car salesman in the world got into our business and gave us a bad face to the world, and
sure.
I'm sorry, I just feel like somebody who made 6 placements barely has enough knowledge to work a desk, much less run their own agency, out there making the mistakes, as you put it, that just gives us all a bad face. And Travis, I'm sorry, because I've interacted with you before and I like you, but no matter who it was in your shoes, that's how I feel. I mean, you just don't have enough knowledge to be out there representing our business without any mentorship and guidance.
It takes a year and a half.
I would
some people
with
never
that.
Get it. Some people.
Well, but
never
let me ask
it.
You though. I mean, wasn't he?
So, A Stringer, what you're saying is that if I was the product and had 10-year tenure in a shitty shop and decided to go out on my own, you'd have more respect for me than you do now.
It's not that I don't have respect for you. I fear you out there representing our industry when you don't know our industry that well.
Then you'd be afraid 24/7 with all the people out there that are doing it.
No, but wait, hold on a second here. But Mike. Hold on. He was representing our industry anyway.
In-house. Yeah, exactly.
He was at another
agency.
Infrastructure. So really what you're saying is no one should learn this profession. No one should start this profession.
What
he's saying is no one is good as Mike A. Stringer. That's it.
I'm not saying
no,
that either.
No
I'm not. I'm not saying that either. What I'm saying is that at least in an agency working a desk, he had hopefully some mentorship and guidance. You know, somebody that was listening to his calls, what he was saying, how he was presenting our business overall.
That's a reason.
Apparently he's doing all right.
Himself now, and what's that?
And I'd be more concerned.
Apparently
for his
he was
income.
Doing all right.
Than I would for how he's representing the industry. I don't think he's offending anybody, okay? I think recruiters are either effective or ineffective, okay? And I think just like every other industry, I'm not sure that's offensive. I think it's ineffective, and I think
okay,
that...
Okay, area code 905 wants to say something. She's bugging me on Twitter.
It's Rebecca. You know, we get
can
a
you
lot
talk
of...
louder, Rebecca? Are you
yeah.
not on a regular phone? You know
I
the rules.
I'm on a regular
well,
phone.
Well, you're all full of static. Come on, talk. Get off your headset
Let
if
talk.
That's the problem.
You know, the biggest issue is, especially for the seasoned people, we do run into people that come out and they get 6 months, a year under their belt, and they think that they can take on the big guys. And no offense, but if you're out there, you're blowing up clients and you're giving us a bad reputation.
No, I disagree wholeheartedly.
Not at all.
Wholeheartedly.
I disagree with that. If I'm sourcing jobs and I'm working on those jobs, then I've got the communication with the hiring manager and the HR people. I don't think I think that's inaccurate. I haven't blown anybody up.
Then what's this take
but
on the big
year
guys?
And a half,
what do
you finally make a decision on whether or not, first and foremost, between 0 and 1.5 years, the big agencies, whoever you're working with, is pounding in the foundation of what it takes to hit the numbers. From there, that's when 1.5 to 3 years, that's when you develop your finesse in doing this job. And that's where A. Stringer is talking about not sounding like a slick recruiter. That's the difference between a big agency recruiter and a boutique.
Yeah, and not to misunderstand, I mean, I, I'm in a constant quest for knowledge, and I want to learn more every day. And I buy books, and I talk to all you pros. And I'm not out there to take on the big agencies. I'm out there to provide a income for myself and my family.
Mm-hmm. But that income is unstable due to the fact that you don't have the 30 steps of the recruitment process down to an art. And I think
or an ongoing mentor. I agree with that. Or an ongoing mentor.
Yeah, you need somebody in your corner that's saying to you every day, how many calls, how many send-outs, where did you miss it? You're going to
get
down
Rebecca? You know what, Rebecca? There's some good information coming up about that. I got to tell you, this guy's interview with me yesterday was phenomenal. He gave me all the nitty-gritty and nuts and bolts, and we'll get to that. But I have to say something very surprising today. I agree with Jerry. You know, this guy was sitting at the desk in somebody else's company. They were letting him do it, and he was doing the exact same thing. You know, they weren't going to make him more sophisticated.
He was doing the broad strokes really well. So nobody sat down and taught the finesse. The finesse of taking that script and making it your own.
But, Rebecca, aren't we assuming then that every agency has this art of imparting the whole staffing process to their people? Maybe he was working in an agency where they said, hey, here's 20 resumes, place one of these guys. We don't know that.
For a while, they better train
the
people.
You know what? At the broad strokes, the first year and a half is critical for any recruiter to be in a house where they're going to show them the broad strokes. You know what? From there, at a year and a half to that second year, they're going, man, do I like this? Do I not like this? And that's when they find the person that they're going to fall under. When you get out there on your own, my fear is the income is unstable, and that when he does run into problems, he's not going to have the backup to help himself out.
Rebecca,
just like anything
Rebecca,
else.
You're not the one that the problem is. You're not the one that decides if it's unstable or not. If he wants to, if he can do it, he's going to do it.
Absolutely.
I'd hire Jerry.
But at the end of the day, when you get an unstable income, you start to do squirrely things. And that's my concern.
He jumped into the deep end a little bit sooner than anybody else would have liked.
I think now you're trying to question character.
No,
and I don't think
question of character. It's a question
I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. If I worked 10 years in a shop, it made a decent income, but it was a crappy shop that gave the recruiting industry a bad name, then I will have paid my dues.
All right.
This guy jumped into the deep end a little bit quicker than any of us would have liked, and he's either going to sink or he's going to swim. I mean, that's the bottom line. My sister-in-law opened up a cupcake shop over here after being a nurse for 3 years. Should she not have opened up the cupcake shop?
You're becoming repetitive, boy wonder. I got something to say. I don't know if you realize it, but there's a big debate going on right now about skill versus talent. Some people say you have to have talent to be great. Others claim you just have to practice, 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 and you're going to get to Carnegie Hall. Amy Chua says in the Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother, nothing is fun till you're good at it. And to get good at anything, you have to work. That sounds true to me. But what about Maureen Sherub? She loved telephone sourcing from the first day she she was good at it. In fact, she got fired from her first sourcing job. But she stuck with it, and she loved it, and now she's the tiger mom of telephone sourcing. She won't beat her kids if they don't practice the piano. She leaves that to Amy Chua. But she'll sure give your search a little tough love. If you can't find your candidate on Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn, you might want to call her at namesourcer.com. Namesourcer.com. Thank you. Now, I think that ad pertains directly to what we're talking about here. Maureen started working as a telephone sourcer for some guy in California, and she loved it right from day one. After about a year, he didn't like her work, and he stopped giving her business. Did she collapse? No! She pressed on, just like our friend here, Travis Yeager, and I got to tell you, she's pretty good at what she does. And she had no mentoring. She mentors other people. Okay, go ahead.
But I thought I got the free Super Bowl spot.
That was worth way more than $2.
Yeah. I agree. That was worth
way more.
You know, Animal, this is truly a cult, and we are stockpiling recruiting weapons.
Now, I'm going to carry on a bit. You guys just can talk to you. I had a good point there, but I'm going to talk a little more. Travis had some really interesting processes, and we really got – I got to tell you, I'm learning myself. I have to give my script to the person. But, you know, once I interviewed Amitai Giverts before he came on, I wrote out the entire script because we had a great conversation. I sent it to him, and he refused to say his part. He just didn't want to talk. But I'm going to make sure that's what my people do in the future. I'll have a script, they'll have a script, and we'll get to the
script. You're not scripting your animal show?
I'm going to. That's what I'm going to do. Now listen to me. I'm going to move ahead. Look, I said, Travis, do you leave voicemail? And he said, yes. Travis, can you tell me what the voicemail is, or should I say?
Travis Yeager, my number is such and such. I have a project that I'm working on and could use your input. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, you said Animal, Travis Yeager here, my number is blank, blank, blank. I have a project I'm working on and could use your input. Just what you said. Then you say, when you have a minute, can you please give me a call? And I ask you, what's your percentage of callbacks? You told us a minute ago, 20%, right? And you also said when you call them and leave a message, they don't know if you're internal or not. I find that hard to believe, but that's what you think. Now, I asked how many voicemails you leave for the same person, and you said only one. If he doesn't call back, I don't chase him down. I was surprised. Why not?
Well, it's not that I don't make a call back to that individual, but I don't mark it aside as, oh, this guy didn't return my call. I'm going to call and bug him some more. It's
well,
not like
I usually
that,
have
but,
to do that because I've got a limited number of people who could do the job, or I think could do the job, that I'm trying to fill. What you told me is there's plenty of other calls to make. Wow, I guess, you know, when you're recruiting these IT programmers, there's just millions of them who do the same thing. You said
well, that's not necessarily the case, and it's not that I don't cycle through calls. I'm saying that I don't, you know, if they're not responding to the one voicemail, there's nothing to indicate they're going to answer a second or a third or a fourth.
Yes, if you call them three times, leave a voicemail three times, they will call you back. Now, if you call them, leave five voicemails, they'll call you back for sure, but they're not going to be interested in the job. They're afraid I'm calling you back to get you off my back. But if you're a good salesperson, you will have gotten them on the phone. Unfortunately, I'm not a good salesperson, so I just say thanks for calling, okay? Now, anyway, you say typically you do catch people on the phone, right? I told you in my experience no one answers the phone, but you said typically you catch people on the phone. What percentage do you get on the phone?
Oh, I would say probably 60% of the people I'd probably get
on
the phone.
Wow, does anybody believe that?
No.
Does anybody believe that? Boy,
well, if he calls and calls and calls, yeah, he gets 60%. I don't think he's saying he gets them on the first call.
Yeah,
not necessarily on the first call, but when I cycle through, and a lot of the companies are utilizing the dial-by-name directories now, so the phone gets picked up a good percentage.
You know what? I got to tell you, I'm going to go over into Jerry's time because I've got so much good information. I just want to get through it before the show's almost over, okay?
Can I ask a question, Animal, before you go on? Because
she
there's
gets
some
one question.
Stuff being said.
What is it?
It's stuff being said on Twitter, okay? So A Stringer asks a question to Karen. Many of us are protective of the reputation of our industry, and it concerns us that someone is out there, someone is out there alone. Okay, Mike, if you give a crap about this industry, you wouldn't say half the crap you say.
What does that mean?
And show
whoa,
up.
Whoa, what does that
mean? What does that mean? How can you even tweet anything like that with the stuff that you say on this show, with the stuff that you write? And I can't believe you even posted that on Twitter. Really?
I would love to know what stuff that I write that is of any concern whatsoever. I tweet professional articles. I don't put anything inappropriate on Facebook. You follow me on Facebook.
You
I don't
say
put
all kinds of inappropriate stuff on this show all the time. All the time. And it's documented, and people can pull it up from anywhere.
And this show is a different atmosphere than getting on the phone with a client. You can't make that distinction?
Yeah, can't you?
Let me switch gears for a second. Enough of that. Rayanne, I said I would do an ad for you, and I told you to send me some information, and you didn't. So I'm just going to say that Rayanne, posts a blog post every day on recruitingblogs.com. It's called The Bonus. Is that correct, Rayanne?
Bonus track. Bonus track.
Bonus track. If you send me some information how you see your mission in the world, I'll do an ad for you, too. Thank you for that. We're going to move on. Now, listen, I asked Travis about the value of a bullpen. I said, what's the value of being in an office with other people, six or seven other people? And he told me, he says, when you have six other people working on the phone in close proximity, it really helps you. He says, because you can run across objections and bounce ideas off those other people on how to overcome them. And he said that was true when he was selling advertising. They had 15 people on the phone in that one office. Somebody would listen to what you're doing, and when you got off the phone maybe, he would say, you know what, you could have handled that better, and then you know for the next time. So that's the value of being there in the office. But he told me that office was a revolving door. And you told me, Travis, am I right, that out of 600 people, one sticks in the seat for any length of time. Is that right, Travis?
Yeah, I would say that that's probably accurate.
What are
the
numbers? What were the numbers again?
Those numbers are probably taking a little creative license with the numbers, but I would say during my time there, they probably rolled through probably close to 20 people in and out the door. So, yeah, not many people can do it, get on the phone, hammer the phone all day long. And
short of time. If you were a better talker, I'd like to let you answer this question. Here's I said, well, Travis, why do you think there's such
that.
A big turnover? That was a joke, Travis. You said, I notice you don't pull any punches either, okay? I said, Travis, why do you think there's such a big turnover? You said, well, Animal, it's a tough business. You're selling an intangible. You're trying to get over the HR hurdle so you can get one-on-one with the hiring manager, and you're going to hear no a lot more than you hear yes. Those are things, there's a lot of pressure. And so then I said, well, Travis, you went on your own when? And you told me just at the beginning of this year. I said, Travis, you're a niche recruiter, aren't you? And you said, yes, I am. I handle anything in IT. I said, well, Travis, you've never been a programmer. There must be a lot of technical things you don't understand. And you said, hey, Animal, I think I can work around that. I didn't know what multi-tier architecture is when I started. How did you find out, Travis?
From talking and asking. From talking to individuals in IT, the developers and so forth, and if there was
now,
a concept
that
they were...
Wait a second. Let me ask you a question. I would think that that's one of the main values of being in an office with more experienced recruiters. You can just turn around and ask them, and they can give you the technical information you don't have. Is that true or not?
Well, I think that you gain synergy by being around a group of people.
Yeah, I didn't ask that. I already talked about the synergy. Didn't you hear me?
Animal, I'm trying to answer your question.
Okay,
it's
too late to answer
the best
my
way
question.
I can answer
the
that
time's
question
over. The time's
is,
over. I'm into Jerry's. I'm moving ahead, okay? Now, you told me that just like you said now, when you want to find out about something like multi-tier architecture and you're talking to a developer or a programmer on the phone, you'll ask him or her. But you won't ask the hiring manager. You won't ask the hiring manager. You told me that when you first started, all the abbreviations had you befuddled. And they told you in the office, well, hey, you know, it just takes time. You got to, you know, make a point of learning those things. But still, you are afraid to show the hiring manager that you are ignorant, just like all the other recruiters. There's lots of stuff you don't know, and you kind of want to work around that and sort of block
I wouldn't say that's all the way accurate in that when I'm talking to a hiring manager and they're discussing their needs, if there's something in the course of that conversation that I don't understand, I'll certainly ask them to elaborate on it because the idea is to find the individual that they need. So I would disagree with that somewhat. And, yeah, as I talk to developers, if I'm talking to someone and they mention some type of process or you know, a lot of times I'll draw it out on a piece of paper and I'll say, hey, let's take a few minutes and discuss this, make me understand a little more, you know, because it separates them, you know, from some of the other talent out there, and that you know, a lot of times can end up being good news in the end. So
Okay, now let me move on because I want to wrap up. And it was such a great. Now I am deciding as we're going. This is what I'm going to do in the future. I'm not going to send a script to the other guy, or maybe I will. I'm just going to read all his answers and let him comment on them and flesh them out like you're doing now. Now when you went on your own, you built yourself. You took, I don't know, a few months, it sounds like, to build yourself a database using LinkedIn and Jigsaw. So you've got 13,000 programmers in Pennsylvania. On your database, you also used Spokio to get the home numbers and the cell phone numbers. You told me that's pretty good. Okay? Now,
let me flush that answer out for you a little bit. Database that I built in Pennsylvania is based on the big 1,000 companies that are there. And it's all of IT. It's not simply developers,
mm-hmm.
but it's the hiring managers, developers, and so forth. A lot of times if I see somebody on LinkedIn that I feel is, based on what I see, possibly a good fit for a position, I'll go to Spokio and punch him up and see if I can't find a cell phone number or home phone number for him so that I can approach that individual.
Okay.
So
now, you told me that if you do a search on Jigsaw, you can see, even you've got a free, you don't pay for Jigsaw, you just use it as a free account, but you can still set it to send you alerts when more people are added, right? And then you enter them in your database manually, right?
Yeah, when you do a search on Jigsaw and you save that search, it allows you to receive updates on that search, on that criteria, daily, weekly, or whatever. And
I did not know that. That's terrific. Okay. Now, I asked you if you use Zoom Info. You have not used it yet, but you told me there is an online database that you would like to use, but they charge $12,500 a year. But for some reason, you think they're awesome, right?
I think their model is tremendous, and hence the expense. I don't foresee me utilizing that service anytime soon, but I do like the model. I like what it represents.
Okay, well, I don't know what that means.
All they deal with is IT.
Okay.
And they get the
okay, you stopped. Okay.
I stopped
told me
because you were speaking, and I didn't want to.
Waiting for you to finish. They only have IT people in that database, right? And what else is it? Is that enough to make you like it, or is there something else?
Well, they spend the time to go in and speak with the project managers one on one to learn what the projects are and that. So I think that it eliminates a lot of the, you know, guesswork as far as what projects are coming up and so forth. It's a very niche.
Okay.
Database that they have.
Okay. Now, you told me for your contact manager, you use Outlook. I was surprised. Maybe lots of people do, but I'm just not aware of it. And you can actually put your notes from your conversations. You can type 40 words a minute, and you put them straight into Outlook. And it's got the journaling feature, so you can track your metrics. And it's got an add-on that allows you just to hit a button to dial the phone number. And you back up your Outlook on a weekly basis, right? It's got a backup function built right into it, right?
Rookie mistake.
Why is that?
I'm kidding.
Okay. So anyway, that's what you use for your we're almost getting a telephone system. You use Skype for outbound calling. There's a number attached to Skype, but you don't give that out. And they've also got on Skype software that automatically records the conversation. If you wanted to, you could set it to record the conversation. You told me you don't use that, but that option is there. Now, you use Google Voice to receive your calls because it forwards the call.
Let me flesh out your answer a little bit. I use Skype for the outbound calling. I added on a software feature that allows me to record the conversations. I record my interviews, and I record the talks with the hiring managers when
what
I'm doing the initial
feature? Do you want to tell us the name of that?
That's a good question. I'd have to look it up. I can certainly.
I don't know. Okay, go ahead. Move on. We're out of time. Go on. Move on.
I've got a Google Voice number that rings every phone that I own. So if I'm out and about, or if I'm here in the office, I can get those calls.
Okay, right, and it's for free. And you also have a home phone for your kids, right? And you also make some local calls from your cell phone. But Skype and Google Voice, Skype outbound, Google Voice inbound, and it allows you to forward that call to five different phones. So it'll go into your computer, it'll go to your cell phone, go to your home phone, wherever, okay? Your daily routine, your rule of thumb is if you say the right things to the right people enough times, you'll get business, so it's important to be on the phone. Therefore, you like to make 80 to 100 calls a day, although you're usually at the 80 point, not the 100. You start work at 8:30. You get on the phone, and you finish around 5 p.m. I said to you, when do you do those 100-call planning sessions? Because that sounds like a lot of work. And you said you do them in the afternoon and the morning. You said when you go to – all you do is go to Outlook, put in your search criteria. It goes through your 13,000 contacts and pulls up a bunch of developers to call, and then you bang through them. I mean, it sounds so easy. I guess because you did your research to get people in advance and you'd work in a niche, you don't have to look up any new people on a regular basis. I think planning.
I use LinkedIn quite a bit.
How many connecting calls does he make out of those 100?
He doesn't make 100. He makes 80, he said.
Okay, If I make 80 to 100 calls a day, I can count on talking to probably 20, 25 people and get engagement from them.
Wow. I'd be interested
okay.
in your stats on that.
Okay.
Interested in
now,
what?
Out of the 25 people, what happens from there? What kind of results you getting?
On the recruiting end of it, I can probably schedule, I would say, a couple of interviews out of all those calls.
I gotta move on, we're already over time. I'm already over time because I didn't handle the show like this at the beginning. We had a lot of information to go through. Now, you told me, you said, Animal, I get a great deal of satisfaction from what I do every day. I was surprised to hear that, and I was pleased. You said, because I call my own shots. It's a work in progress. That's how you described your process. Your goal is $100,000 in your pocket by Thanksgiving, and you said that's only 6 placements, and you believe you can do it. You don't see yourself doing contract jobs in the placements in the future. I asked what your strengths as a recruiter are. You said, Animal, I look for a win-win-win for everybody. If I'm working for a company, I don't throw garbage against the wall and hope it sticks. I try to do my best to find exactly the person they're looking for, including the soft skills. And you said, I run a transparent desk. I don't sugarcoat anything. I've been accused of being coarse and hard-nosed with the HR departments. At my old company, they hate HR, and that mentality hindered them more than it helped them. I look at HR as a hurdle to overcome when you're trying to achieve that one-on-one relationship with the hiring manager. But, there's some other stuff there. Let me move on.
Where are we going with all this, man?
At the
end of the show, you cover everything that you...
Yes, I want his process. I thought his process was very interesting. What? I'm almost done, Jerry. You'll have your show in a minute. Go ahead.
To flush that out just a little bit, the company I used to work for, they just didn't care for HR. I don't know and that's saying it nicely. I don't look at HR as a hurdle to overcome as much as it makes it more difficult at times to get to the person that you need to speak with need to have that one-on-one conversation with. So when I say HR is a hurdle, I mean more, you know, there's the list of vendors that they work with, those things. So I don't mean to come off as somebody that can't stand HR.
Jerry's yelling at me. Didn't you hear that? I asked, what are your hottest tips for recruiters? You said, keep your goals in mind. The number of calls, or where you want to be in a year's time, break down how much effort you're going to have to put in to get to where you want to go. Okay, that's what you told me. You said the best recruiters are not the best talkers. They're the best listeners. You've met people who've had a lot of success who aren't good talkers, but they're good listeners, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay, and let me see. I said, what if a candidate won't tell you how much they're earning? You said, you tell them, you better tell me or we're not going to be working together. Am I right about that?
No, that's a bit, yeah. You know, a lot of the questions that you ask during the course of an interview are, you need the answers, but you're also gauging cooperation from a candidate. And if I don't have cooperation from a candidate, how will I be able to project, you know, how a potential placement will go? So
where
if I'm not achieving...
That? Where did you learn that?
Don't
it's impossible that you could know that already, Travis. It's impossible.
Thank you, Travis!
Worn out. I've got a cold today. I had to plow the driveway.
Like
it took
did.
About 2 hours today. Wow.
Yeah.
Ton of snow.
That was painful.
Jerry, did you see my Twitter message?
No, I have not been on Twitter. What's happening?
May I take a moment, please?
Yes.
Yeah,
so I was... I'm sorry?
I said, poor Mike. What's going on there?
We're letting Mike take a moment, Kathy.
Okay.
I'm not really sure why I was attacked the way that I was, but I just would like to say that, you know, there's a difference in the culture of the Animal Show and coming here and playing around a little bit than being in front of a client or, you know, saying inappropriate things in other places. And I'm not really sure why I was attacked that way because I like to come here and joke around a little bit. I think the questions I asked Travis had some merit based on the amount of conversation it got. You know, the person that attacked me, I don't know if it's her time of the month. She just got dumped. I don't know what's going on, but I think it was appropriate, and I'm not happy.
Okay.
Who was that? Who was that?
It was Rand.
Rand?
Yeah. Okay, well, I hope you guys can work that out.
Yeah.
What are your scores for the guest today, Mike?
I think Animal was back to his normal self, so I'm going to give him an 8. I like the way he conducted himself today. I'm going to give Travis an 8 as well. I don't necessarily agree that he was ready to go out on his own, but I think he did well in the second half of the show.
I don't like the new Animal approach here.
I don't
do
either.
A pre-interview and then spend the whole show saying that that's not what you said yesterday.
Well, yeah, right.
He's
come
just
on,
gonna
people.
Drop that line and then you're okay, no?
He needs
that?
To have more specific
practical questions. I mean, think about how Letterman or, you know, Howard Stern's people do it. I mean, they all do the pre-interviews, and then they come up with stories that they want to address. And the questions he asked were just too ambiguous.
Yeah. What are your stories?
But you have
for...
a newbie on the show. How are you going to ask him very specific questions?
Yeah,
Singing?
I don't know.
And eating alive. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Jeremy, what are your scores? I'm just kind of squeezing the scores in between the chit-chat here.
Yep, yep. I give, Animal's an 8, and I'll give the guest an 8. I think Travis, kind of like what I said before, and I might have got stepped on before, he jumped out a little too early, man, but that's fine. Let him get out there. If he's good, he'll survive. If not, if he's good and gets a mentor, he'll survive. If not, I mean, it's, you know, what do they call it, natural selection. My sister-in-law opened up a cupcake shop after having that as a hobby and something that she really wanted to do after being a nurse for a couple of years. Should she not have done that? Should she have cooked a couple more dozen cupcakes? I don't know.
There's a franchise model behind her, though. No?
Behind her? No. She's a private owner, a sole owner. I mean, she took the plunge.
How's it going with that?
It's going well. She opened it up around Christmas. I mean, obviously, it's going to have the ups and downs, and the weather doesn't help. The ice here doesn't help. But no, she's making it. I mean, she's selling cupcakes, her and her partner.
There you go,
Bob. You know, the one
thing. Can I get my scores just because I have to get out of the car? I've been at the doctor, and I have to go to a meeting.
Okay, Kathy.
Would that be okay?
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Okay.
Let's get her done, Kathy.
Okay, I won't talk. You know what? I don't like the new Animal approach. But it takes away the spontaneity.
Yep.
I think that, you know, I just think that, you know, reiterating or regurgitating answers from the day before are unproductive. So, and it got old.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, it just, it's not right. It doesn't flow right. So I have to give Animal a 2.
Ooh.
And I have to give the guest, you know, I'm really torn because I think that he has so much to learn, you know, in terms of, you know, numbers and calls and then following up with emails and, you know, but he had guts to go on the show. So I'm going to give him a 7. Wow. And, you know, I hope that Animal stops the preempting of these screens. I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm gonna have a talk with him.
But thank you, for letting me.
Something's got to.
And I literally was having my blood drawn when this was going on, and I had it on speaker, and the nurses were like, "Oh my God, what are you listening to?"
Oh my, yeah.
Pretty funny. So,
well, I hope
anyway,
you feel better. I hope they can figure out whatever they were drawing the blood for. We don't want to know.
Just a physical. No problem. Okay, thanks.
All right, see you, Kathy.
Okay, bye.
All right, who else is with us?
Rebecca.
Rebecca Sargent.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. GT. Tell us about your scores for the show, Rebecca. What are they?
Well, you know, I've listened to a couple of the shows, so I'll give Animal a 7. I think he's just got to drop the. You talked to me about this yesterday.
Yep.
And as soon as he drops that, he's good to go. I think people get on and they get intimidated. He actually, give him credit, he's got a newbie that he's taken to the Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
He guided him through that very, very well. Because there's a lot of us out here that don't believe that recruiters should not go out on their own without a backup.
I'm with you.
The candidate I would, or the guest
yes.
candidate, whatever, a 4. You know what?
Okay.
I think he's in a good area, but wow, to come into a seasoned environment with us and then throw himself at us.
Yeah, I mean, the guy...
He's got the stones to do it, but wow.
And that's, oh. I mean, really, that's one of the keys to, you know, being a good recruiter or any kind of salesperson is, you know, you've got to have some nerve.
Heck yeah, man, you got to walk in there and be ready to get thrown out.
Yeah.
Well, and look at Animal. He protected him fairly well from us, though.
All right, who else is here? Anybody? Andy, Gregory, did you hang up?
I'm here, man.
Okay, man.
I'll just let other people speak, you know,
okay,
if they
okay.
needed to bring it. You know, I'll give Travis an 8. I mean, we talk about this, you know, a certain amount of time to go out on your own. I mean, you know, I mean, it's not like he's a dentist and he forgot to go to dental school.
Yeah,
you know,
That's a good point.
I just like the way Travis cleans my teeth and, you know, he's a little harsh on him, but, you know, you know, I admire him for going out on his own because I look at these agencies and say, hey, if you're any good, why would you stay? So, I mean, I have the opposite approach. I do think there is there's an art form there, and there's certainly a skill set. But you know what? If he wants to go out on his own, he can go out on his own.
Yeah, this is
America. And then the second thing on Animal, I would just say, or I don't know if I gave a score. Maybe I did. I don't know.
We have not known your score yet.
I enjoy hearing myself talk. I forgot what I was saying. Animal, I'll just give Animal a 7. I didn't like the repeating, you know, what you said yesterday. But, hey, you know what? It was fine.
Okay. All right. So you guys got mostly ice down there or ice and snow?
You know, we've got a little bit of we've got a wintry mix.
As a politician.
Okay. Is that you, Maureen?
Yeah.
Maureen, help me make a note of your scores, please.
I'll give the Animal an 8, and I'll give the guest a 9. I thought it was a good show, and I thought he brought a lot to the table.
Okay. Anybody else? Didn't I hear Dave Manister earlier on the call? Okay. All right, guys, well, I'll get the scores out there, and I'm going to give my score real quick, too. I'm not going to let whether he's got the experience or lack of experience to be a recruiter on his own, none of that. Just as a guest, I'll give him a 7. I mean, he seemed all right. Animal, I don't like his new approach. 5.
Punishing.
Well, I just, the whole, I mean, listening to him tell us about the conversation he had yesterday with the guy who right now is capable of answering the questions again, it bugs me. I mean, why not just record his call yesterday and just play it? Right? I don't know.
No, I agree. I think it's a good idea.
Or maybe some members of the whatever we are should just record their thoughts when they're not on their time of the month and not speak up during the show.
We are the Peanut Gallery.
Yeah.
Mike, you're going to get in trouble.
You are going to get in trouble.
Better watch yourself.
No, you know what? I think I'm not going to call in for a while.
You know what,
Jerry, seriously, you know, I haven't spoke a lot in the last 4 or 5 weeks, if you noticed, just because I was starting to get worried about my brand a little bit.
Yeah.
And today I spoke up and got a tag like that. I mean, I just don't need it.
Well, any opinions on the whole thing ought to be really discussed more off air.
That's fine. I have nothing else to say.
Okay. You guys all get all shoveled out? I mean, who didn't get snow today?
We got rain.
We don't have snow. We got little flurries, but it's just cold here.
In Cincinnati?
Cincinnati. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It must have gone north of us.
You
got hammered, right?
Oh, man. It was unbelievable. I could barely plow out the driveway.
Really? Is that why you're sick?
No, I've been sick since Monday.
Really?
But I don't let that slow me down.
Apparently not. What, do you have the flu?
No, just a snuffly cold kind of thing.
You couldn't tell it in your shout out at the beginning of the show.
Well, I can't tell you how we pulled that off. Okay.
The secret sauce?
Well, everybody have a super day. If anybody needs any help on anything, give me a call.
Bye.
See you later, guys.
Bye,
everybody.
I have my issues with all of them, with recruiting blogs. Jason Davis, I love the guy. I don't like some of the decisions he made. David Manister, same thing. I have his home phone numbers. I love the guy. He knows that I've got his back. Same thing with Jason. But, you know, everyone is trying to create a community that is different. And you know what? None of them are different. There is nothing new that hasn't in articles that come coming out on all these blogs and all these sites that we haven't touched upon 10 years back, 15 years back, 20 years back. Nothing is new.